Hello, everyone. Homecoming Hero here with another episode of Late Night Sprites. Today's episode is going to be a real fun one because I'm going to be talking about the Indie World presentation as well as doing a holiday indie game buyer's guide. That's right. It is that time of year. Digital storefronts are going on sale. Thanksgiving is next week, and because Thanksgiving is next week, and Super Mario RPG Remake and Scott Pilgrim are coming this Friday at the time of this recording, I am so excited that I'm going to take a break. That's right, no episode next week. I only have about 2 to 3 episodes left for this show, for this season, I should say. I have one that is kind of being tooled on that I don't know if it's going to work or not, so that's a maybe, but 2 guaranteeds. I have a holiday special coming up as well as a episode that is going to be my, like, of the year category. And that's going to mean movies, AAA games, indie games, all of that. Kind of like with the fact that the Game Awards are coming up, I'm going to talk about my 2023 in gaming, but today is just about the indie games. So, with the indie world, I'm not going to go through every game. It's only about 20 minutes long. I highly recommend looking into the indie world if you're interested. It started off really well for me, though, because of Shantae: Risky Revolution. The fact that Shantae: Risky Revolution is no longer going to be just a Game Boy Advance cart through limited run makes me so happy. Now, does this mean that Limited Run will probably get the rights to the physical edition? Yes, they have done every single physical Shantae game. This one will be no different. But the fact that this is coming, and I've read the articles to all platforms, is really exhilarating. It makes me so excited to really dive into this game that was originally Lost, and part of it became Risky's Revenge, and now this is going to take place, I believe, in between Risky's Revenge and the original. Risky Revolution looks really exciting. The concept of shifting around the background and going between the background and the foreground, it looks fun. I'm really excited. I am beyond excited. I love the Shantae series. The only ones I have not played are the Game Boy Original and Seven Sirens, but with this coming in early 2024, I might be picking up Seven Sirens a little early. Another one that really interests me is On Your Tail, which is like a mystery game. It looks really interesting. You're set at this like summer resort place and you solve a mystery, and the way it's designed and like you make the crime scene go isometric, but you also like fish and swim and stuff. It looks fun. Not a lot of games really stood out to me during the Direct. There were some that looked kind of fun and some that looked okay. I will be picking up Backpack Hero, though. Backpack Hero is the last one that really stood out to me. It looks really fun. The idea is that it's a roguelike, but the better you perform by packing your bag, the better you do in the dungeon. So it's a unique enough concept that I'm willing to give it a try. So I might be picking it up sooner than later. It is one of the shadow drops. They had a few demo shadow drops, but this was one of the big shadow drops. And then they kind of ended it with the sizzle reel. And I'm not going to hang on this one for too long because I don't want to go through every single game. There were a lot of detective visual novel style games, and those are exciting. But some of the indie games that I'm really looking forward to are Penny's Big Breakaway, Paper Perjury, which is very much inspired by Ace Attorney, and Pepper Grinder, Plucky Squire, and absolutely I am looking forward to Rift of the Necrodancer. Rift of the Necrodancer is one that is one of my more anticipated. It's slated for this year. It might still come out. It might be like River City Girls 2. It might just come out near the very tail end of the year. We are going to have to just wait and see. But that being said, let's talk about the indie holiday buyer's guide. Let's talk about indie games that I think are going to be worth your time and money. Some of these might be on sale, some of these might not be. Some of these are a little newer, and some of these are more classic. So let's start with the classics. First off, A Hat in Time. If you are a 3D platformer fan, if you love games like Mario 64, Banjo-Kazooie, Mario Sunshine, Hat in Time is definitely worth it. There is a lot of DLC here. If you get it on Steam, there's a modding community. I have definitely put this on gift guides in the past, but whether on PS4 or Xbox or Steam, that is where I would say it works best. I have played this on Nintendo Switch, and it runs playable, but it runs better on the other consoles. But if Switch is your only option, I say get it. This game is worth playing. It is really fun. It is a sweet little fun adventure and definitely worth your time. Now, another one that I've talked about in times before is Dicey Dungeons. This take on the roguelike genre uses dice and cards and equipment and needing specific numbers on a six-sided dice to use specific equipment to traverse the dungeons, hosted by Lady Luck herself in a TV show format. Definitely worth your time. Another one that I have talked about on the show and gushed about as a whole. Another oldie but goodie is Shantae Half-Genie Hero and Shantae in the Pirate's Curse. If you are a fan of Metroidvanias, definitely pick up the Shantae series. But even if you're like me and Metroidvanias aren't necessarily your jam, Shantae is not a super in-depth Metroidvania. It's just got a little splash of it. Half-Genie Hero kind of does away with the exploration and makes it a lot about platforming and having the right equipment / transformations. Both of these are definitely worth your time. These are my favorite Shantae games, but I will say it right here. Get into the entire series. The Shantae series is one that is definitely worth it. This game, even though some are better than others, the Shantae series is still one that is really good. And another one that I gotta say is, right off the bat, I know I've said Dicey Dungeons, I've said Hat in Time, I've said Shantae, Shovel Knight. The Shovel Knight games are great. I have not played enough of Shovel Knight Dig to form an opinion on it, but Shovel Knight Pocket Dungeon is an expertly crafted puzzle game, and Shovel Knight Treasure Trove will keep you entertained for hours. The Shovel Knight series really does live up to all the acclaim that it gets. The Shovel Knight games are incredible. I hope to talk about them more on the podcast someday, but yes, Shovel Knight is a fantastic time. And more games, because I bet a lot of these games are going to go on sale. If they don't go on sale around Thanksgiving, they're going to go on sale around Christmas. So this episode is going to age like a fine wine. And then the wine gets open and goes flat when next year shows up and there's lots of other indie games. But basically the first half of this episode are the oldies but goodies. The second half is going to be all of the new stuff. These are games that I played for the first time this year. Another one that I have to recommend, River City Girls. River City Girls is an absolute must. If you are a fan of beat-em-ups, this one is so good. This is still my favorite beat-em-up of all time. Up there with the likes of Shredder's Revenge, which I do actually believe that Shredder's Revenge classifies as an indie game. So if you need a beat-em-up, Shredder's Revenge and River City Girls are both fantastic games, especially the first River City Girls. The RPG elements are implemented perfectly. The game plays great and controls great and has amazing music. But if you played that already, Shredder's Revenge. Even if you're not a fan of TMNT, this is just an expertly crafted beat-em-up. This is one of those beat-em-ups that you write home about. This is one of those beat-em-ups that if it was an arcade game, you would spend your entire birthday party using every single quarter at your disposal. Well, and quarters that you found on the floor to try to beat every single boss and beat the game in one sitting before you have to wait a whole other birthday. This is the best Turtles game since Turtles in Time. And as Turtles fans, this game is nothing short of amazing. So those were the oldies. Those are games I've talked about before. In this next part, I am going to be talking about all of the new games. Some of them may have been mentioned before, some of them I may have talked about lightly or even mentioned in episodes before, but 95% of these are going to be new. If I do cover ground that I've covered before, I'm sorry, I forgot. I thought this was the first time I talked about it. It might be the second or third. Having ADHD sometimes does that to you. But stay tuned as I dive into a bunch of games that I think are worth it for your holiday treats. Whether you are gifting it to a friend by buying a digital code and giving it to them, whether you're buying it with an eShop card, or whether you're giving a small gift to yourself. These are all games that are definitely worth putting under the tree, or in the case of digitally, booting up right away and opening the gift early while you wait till Christmas morning to get even more games, or gift cards to go get even more games after that. Let's be real. This has been, aside from even just indies, this year in terms of games has been nothing short of phenomenal. I'm already making my list for next year for games to get on sale because there are so many that I had to pass up on. And with games coming out next year, like A Thousand Year Door and Princess Peach Showtime, it's crazy to think that I also have to try to find room for Nick All-Stars Brawl 2 of all games. But that's not this episode. That will be the of the year episode, so stay tuned. I got some fun indie games to share with you, so you're going to want to stick around. Thank you for staying tuned. Did you get some water? Did you get a snack? You might want to, because this is going to be a long one. So, first one off the bat, because I just talked about it, Suika Game. For those who didn't listen to the episode, I highly recommend going back. I'm not going to go into detail, but I will say that Suika Game is a very fun, cozy, relaxing, very inexpensive puzzle game that will definitely be worth your time and money. Suika Game is just really fun and laid back. Now, another game that is very in that same kind of arcade-like feeling, this one does have a mission mode, but there's also an endless mode. This honestly feels like a Game & Watch style game, is Garden Guardian. Garden Guardian is one where you have to protect your garden from bugs, feed and water your plants, but it's all done in like a Game & Watch style mini game, and it's really fun. It's fun. It's just a very simple game. You pick it up, like Suika Game, you pick it up, you play it for like a little bit or a long while, depending on how you feel, but there's no like in-depth story, and it's just a very fun arcade style just a little mini game to play. It's also very inexpensive. So Garden Guardian, definitely pick that one up. So this one I have talked about before, and that is Ooblets. But if you are a fan of Pokemon and maybe you need something to hold you over while the DLC finishes or even after the DLC is finished, Ooblets is really good. It's on Xbox and Switch, and Ooblets is just a Pokemon-like game that incorporates farm sim elements as well as dance battles, and there's a lot to do in it. There's even shinies to collect in this game. The characters are really enjoyable. The writing is very silly and fun. Ooblets is a game that I have played quite a bit of. I always intend to do an episode of it, and maybe I will do an Ooblets episode someday, but if you like Pokemon and you want something a little extra, Ooblets is not a bad pick. Ooblets is very, very fun. But another game that I have been playing recently that is really good is Bomb Rush Cyberpunk. Bomb Rush Cyberpunk is one that I did talk about on the podcast, as in I was looking forward to it. It finally got a release date. It came out over the summer. And this game lives up to the expectation. It's on PlayStation. It's on PC. It's on Switch. And this game is still great. If you are a fan of the Jet Set Radio style of gameplay, then definitely play this game. And the music is really good. The presentation's good. Even if Switch is your only option, this game plays really good on Switch. This game plays incredibly well. Like, I was surprised how much I enjoyed playing this on Switch. I was afraid because basically Bomb Rush came out on PlayStation about 2 to 3 weeks after. But I was so impatient that I picked it up on Switch. And I gotta say, it's still great. I might even pick it up on PlayStation someday if it gets a physical version. Who knows? But Bomb Rush Cyberpunk is really, really fun. But if you are a fan of 2D platforming and you are a fan of the Mega Man Zero franchise, I highly recommend picking up Gravity Circuit. Gravity Circuit is a Mega Man Zero style game that looks like an NES game, and it's all about using a grappling hook in your fists, and it plays like Mega Man. There are 8 bosses to beat, an ending. It's really, really good, and honestly, there's even, like, the structure of Mega Man is there. The structure of Mega Man Zero is there. It's a really good platformer. The music is really good. Much like Bomb Rush, this is a game that's on a whole mess of platforms, and Gravity Circuit is really good. I've gotten to the end of it. I need to actually go back and get a few upgrades for my character so that I can have a better time against the final boss. But I have played enough to cast judgment on it, and it was a really good time this year. It was a fantastic time to play. Now, another game that I've talked about before that is worth your time is EX Zodiac. I actually covered this early in the year. It is coming to Switch. It is currently on Steam only. If you like Star Fox, this is one of those indie games that you have to pick up. This is one of those indie games that was made with so much love. The idea is great. The game plays fantastic. It is Star Fox mixed with Space Harrier. The music is really good. The graphics and presentation are incredible. It plays great. If you want more, look up my Summer of Indies episode. That game is what kicked off the Summer of Indies. And I am so glad that I was able to pick up that game. It was fantastic. If you like beat-em-ups and you've played River City Girls and Shredder's Revenge already, I highly recommend Double Dragon Gaiden. It combines roguelike elements with a beat-em-up. So if you beat a gang leader, another one will go on high alert and make the stage longer. So the first person you fight, it's only a little bit of a stage, and then a boss. You upgrade your character, you move on. Billy and Jimmy are great, but the other two playable characters with Marion and her uncle, whose name eludes me right now, are also great. This came out around the time Pikmin 3 did, so there's a good chance that a sale will happen on this one. I loved this game. It's not perfect. If you play this on Switch, the load times are a little unbearable. But aside from that, the gameplay is really unique. There are unlockable boss characters with all unique movesets. And the fact that, like, they combine the roguelike element, so by the time you get to your third boss, you are going through a meaty stage with a long boss fight at the end. Whereas the first stage you do, you're going through, like, 2 rooms, and then the boss fight is right there. So the replayability is up. The idea is really good. The final stage is super tough. Super tough, and this game is really fun. If you are a beat-em-up enthusiast and you like the idea of just mastering something, just one more time mentality, it combines very good elements of both. The presentation's great. The music is really good. Double Dragon Gaiden surprised me because when I first saw it, the trailer kind of came out of nowhere. And then I actually did end up picking it up because it came out around my birthday. And I am so glad I did, because it was such a great time. I need to go back and actually properly beat it and finish it. But much like Gravity Circuit, I have played enough to tell you about it. And it is fantastic. It is a really good time for beat-em-up fans. If you're like me and River City Girls is one of your favorite games of all time, this is a really good one. I liked this, I would say, more than River City Girls 2, but not as much as River City Girls 1. River City Girls 1 has definitely made kind of a high standard, high pedestal for me when it comes to beat-em-ups. So, another thing that I would recommend, and I say a thing and not a game, is because the next two games are on this service. Get Game Pass. Honestly, I'm not trying to cheat, but get Game Pass. If you love indie games and want to try a bunch of them, get Game Pass. Garden Story, Chicory, Dicey Dungeons, which I mentioned earlier. The two games I'm about to mention now are currently on Game Pass, and there are so many great titles to play on there, AAA and indie. But for indie games, Hollow Knight, Dicey I keep going back to Dicey Dungeons, but that's because I adore that game so much. But there are so many. And Chicory, I actually got to try because of Game Pass. And I really like Chicory. If you are creative and artistic, you have to play Chicory. It's really good. It is a very powerful game about being artistic and being creative and the world defining you around it. It's great. And so many indie games get put on there. And just so many that there are too many to list. But definitely consider, if you have an Xbox, picking up Game Pass and just gifting yourself with trying like 3 or 4 other games. I'm excited because SteamWorld Build is going to be on there. And I love the SteamWorld series. I love Dig. I love Heist. I still need to try Heist, or I need to try Quest and SteamWorld Dig 2. But I love Dig and Heist so much. Those are phenomenal games that are near and dear to my heart. And I definitely am looking forward to Build. That's one thing I love about the SteamWorld series. It's always changing. Although I do hope that SteamWorld Heist gets a sequel someday, because as a strategy game, that game was very, very well made. That was like one of my favorite games the year it came out back on 3DS. So, one of the first ones, if you want a relaxing game that is not going to take you that long, Venba. Venba is a little lovely story that is very lovingly crafted. There's some heavy moments in it, but it mostly revolves around cooking. And the art style is very nice. The presentation is really nice. The story is really cute. It's a very short little game. I beat Venba in one sitting. Venba, I want to say, is about 2 to 3 hours long. But it's a very memorable 2 to 3 hours. It's very, very good. And it's on Game Pass. I'm not going to go very deep into Venba because its story is one of its major factors. All I have to say is that it's very well written and the art style is very warm and welcoming. And the next game on this list is one that I actually recently just beat. I rolled credits on this one about 2 days ago. Thirsty Suitors. Thirsty Suitors is amazing. It is basically, if you are a fan of Scott Pilgrim, Thirsty Suitors is a game for you. It is an RPG / cooking sim / rhythm game / skateboarding sim. And basically the cooking sim and the combat and the rhythm minigame are all the same controls. Like, your combat for RPG is what you do with cooking, but the simplicity of the gameplay is fine. The game chugs a little bit. That's fine. The game is a little short. That's fine. What is here? The presentation's incredible. The voice acting's incredible. The writing is hilarious. The writing can get very real at points. The representation in this in Venba are really cool. The representation, seeing Southeast Asian culture get represented in games, is so cool. It's making me want to look up documentaries and read books and read up more and study and find out about cultures that aren't mine. It gives me hope that there are developers out there making games about Mexican culture that represent me, like Guacamele, and how Mexican culture is so cool. It's so cool to step outside of our own culture. The music is fantastic. The writing is hilarious. The concept, though this game is funny, can get very real very quickly. The idea of coming back home, facing your exes, and that's one of the big selling points, and reuniting with your family. That's the thing that sold me, facing your exes. Scott Pilgrim is still a fun thing, but the fact that this one is already more interpersonal, because instead of fighting your current romantic partner's exes, you are currently dealing with your own. Therefore, that makes the character more engaging past, present, and future. The music is great. I might even do a full episode on Thirsty Suitors at some point because I am not going to spoil it. The game is hilarious. This game isn't perfect, but this is like an 8 to 8.5 out of 10. It's that good. The gameplay is super simplistic. The combat is super simplistic. And yes, I did not have to grind much until I saw the end of the game. And the ending came kind of abruptly, but what was there was so good. What was there was so worth it. If you aren't interested, I say watch a playthrough of it or watch your favorite streamer play it. And like Venba, this is on Game Pass. And I am so glad I was able to experience this game on Game Pass. This game is $25 and I think it's honestly still worth it. I know some people go like, oh, the game's like super short. But if you have a great experience from start to finish like I did, then yes. Even though the flaws are minimal, the good in this game outweighs it in spades. And this game probably will not go on sale as it just came out, maybe 10, 15%. But definitely get this one if it goes on sale. Definitely pick it up. Or if you get Game Pass for Christmas or give yourself the gift of Game Pass, just try this one. Try this. Try Venba. I'm going to try SteamWorld Dig. Try Dicey Dungeons. Open up to indie games. Indie games, whether they've been around for 5 years or 5 hours, are so important. They are the backbone of the gaming industry. Smaller studios making newer games to be excited for that are in genres that sometimes don't get as much love. Next year we have like 3 games that are like Punch-Out, and I am excited for all of them because I miss Punch-Out. Next year we're getting cool Metroidvanias, we're getting another Shantae game, we're getting Penny's Big Breakaway, we're getting Pepper Grinder and Plucky Squire, ideas that break the norm. I still love Mario and Kirby and the like, but indie games are still some of my favorite games of all time. From Shantae and River City Girls to Ooblets and EX Zodiac, indie games make a perfect gift this holiday season for yourself and for your friends and family. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Late Night Sprites. Like I said, this one was a little bit of a longer one, but I'm glad that I was able to, like with this one and a few other episodes, really push the boundaries and make more than just 20-minute episodes nowadays. It is really exciting. That being said, I'm going to be taking a little bit of time off. I have about 2 to 3 more episodes left for the end of the year, and then this will be the end of the season, and then I will come back in the February-March window with more Late Night Sprites goodness. Definitely in time to slowly build up to another summer of sprites and the like. But thank you so much for sticking with me. If you want to read some, check out latenightsprites.blogspot.com, where it is mainly going to be the focus of TV show, music, musicals, albums, and more. I recently, to prep for the Scott Pilgrim series, talked about the aesthetic of the Scott Pilgrim movie as I get very excited for the series. But thank you so much for listening. Take care of yourself. Take care of your mental health. I've been Homecoming Hero, and I will see you on the next Late Night Sprites episode.